Good evening. Hey, look, it's really good to be with you this evening to continue our theme of Run in the Light. Now, I know none of us are playing. I know it's strange and odd to be in lockdown, to not be at university, to not be able to be with friends and to play sport. So what I want you to do is to cast your mind back all the way to the last time you were playing, to the environment of being in a club, to being in amongst those that you compete in sport with. For some of us, it's a pretty distant memory, isn't it? Now, think back to those moments. Think back to being in a club. What was the worst ever put down you have ever had in sport? Sport culture can be tough, can't it? It can be pretty brutal out there. I think back to my playing days, and most of the put downs I ever had were to do with my nose. Pretty much every single one about the nose. You know, in the changing room, trying to make a point, and to mock me, they'd say, "Hey, look, Greg knows best. Greg knows best." Or if we ever got lost on the way to a game, it would be, "Oh, Greg, well, your nose is already there, so surely you know where to go." Or I remember one guy in particular in the changing room. I was trying to make a serious point of how we should approach the second half, and to put me off, he just kept on doing this, going, "Oh, Greg, stop poking me in the eye with your nose." Now, I'm pretty comfortable with my nose. You know, they're unkind, those things. But, you know, I'm at peace with it. Even from profile, you know, I know my nose is big. And those weren't the put-downs that hurt me the most. There was one particular put-down that I think I'll never forget. I was playing rugby. I was in this team, had been in the team for a few months. And one of the guys, he found out that I was a Christian. And he came to me and said, "Oh, I hear you're a Christian, but you're no different from anybody else." Do you know what? That cut me pretty deep. That really made me think. You're no different from anybody else. It hurt because if we're never kind of out of step with the culture of sport, and we're just the same as everybody else, then we have to ask the question, don't we? Honestly, of ourselves, whether we are in step with Christ. We have to ask that question. Now, last night, Dano lifted our eyes in that incredible passage in Matthew chapter 4 to remind us that if we believe and trust in Jesus, we have been rescued from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the light. And we're called to follow him and to tell others about Jesus. That's what it means to run in the light, our theme. That's what it means. And tonight in Matthew chapter 5, having told the disciples to follow him and to go and make disciples of others, Jesus gathers his disciples together. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, we see it clearly, don't we? When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He's showing them what running in the light looks like, what a life with him looks like. Now, let's be crystal clear. Jesus isn't talking about how to live so that you can be right with God or qualify for his kingdom. It's not what you do. No, he's talking here, look, with his disciples. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. Disciples who, like us, are saved by faith in Jesus. Saved by faith in Jesus. So as we look at these are not prerequisites to being saved. They are the life of somebody who has been saved by faith in Jesus. This is you and me living, running in the light. I wonder if you've ever done the naughty thing of putting an empty packet back in the fridge. You know, it's incredibly lazy, isn't it? It's pretty lazy and it's pretty selfish. Now, if you live on your own, you can get away with it. But if you live in a flat with others or like me, you're married, it's pretty hard to get away with it. Apparently, it's not okay. I got caught this week eating yogurt out of a pot, finished the pot, put the pot back in the fridge. And my wife caught me and she just said, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" You see, living in a relationship is different from living as a single person. You have different responsibilities and a different way of living. It'd be bizarre, wouldn't it, to get married to my wife, Alice, on the end of our wedding day to say, "Hey, look, I've got my calendar out. When's the next time we hang out?" And then to head back to where I was living when I was a single man and phone her up as if we're dating. No. When we got married, life was very different. Living together requires learning to live and serve and please the one you love and who loves you. Now, of course, hey, look, we get it wrong continually, and I'm still learning how to not put empty things back in the fridge. Similarly, when we give our lives to Jesus, life changes. We move from the kingdom of darkness, as Dan has said, to the kingdom of light, running our race in the light. He's our Savior and Lord. And our desires to change, to live with him here, and he shows us how we do that. Life powered by the Holy Spirit, lived lovingly with the Son, focused on the glory of the Father. Now, remember that, guy, but you're no different from anybody else. I wonder if we were to watch your life, perhaps over the last year or in the year to come, what would we say of you? If you're never out of step with the culture of sport, we have to ask ourselves whether we're in step with Jesus Christ. But why? Why does a saved life through Jesus Christ look different? Why does a saved life powered by the Holy Spirit focus on the Father need to look different? Well, to understand that, we need to go to the end of our passage, to verse 13. Have a look at it with me. It says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." See, salt is mainly used today to season food. But in those days, it was used to preserve and to keep food good and healthy so that they could eat it. But you see, they didn't have the same purifying processes that we have. They didn't have the purifying plants. They just got salt, and it was a mixture of salt itself and then rock and dust. And you see, when it got wet, the salt would dissolve, and what you're left with is a white powder mush that looks like salt but doesn't act like salt. You are salt of the earth, says Jesus. You are salt of the earth. You're a follower of Jesus, and you're there to be different, to influence the world for good by being different. Ask yourself the question tonight. Are you living as salt of the earth? Salt of the earth, what does that even look like now in lockdown? And to help disciples grasp this, Jesus begins with this series of statements, single statements that are key distinctives of somebody who is running in the light. Let's delve into them. They're in two groups of four. The first four look at running in the light towards God. And the second group of four look at running in the light in our sports clubs, in our community, in the places where we live. First one says this: look, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 3. Our culture says, hey, look, be your own person. Search for the hero inside yourself. Whenever I tell my sport friends I'm a Christian, they seem to immediately try and kind of tell me how good they are. I don't know if yours do that. You know, I give to the poor through standing order, or I used to ring the church bells, or, you know, I'm really a big advocate for equality. But here, to be poor in spirit is not about how good you think you are, but it's to acknowledge your spiritual poverty, indeed our spiritual bankruptcy before God. We're all sinners under the wrath of God, deserving nothing but the judgment of God, having nothing to offer, nothing to plead, nothing with which to buy favor from heaven. We can only cry out, can't we? In downcast eyes, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. To these people, and only to these people, the kingdom of God is given. For God's salvation in Jesus Christ is a gift that's absolutely free, as it is utterly undeserved. Has to be received with this dependent humility of a little child, to run in the light, acknowledge their total need of their Savior Jesus. That's what it means to be poor in spirit. Second one, blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. Hey, look, I met a lot of Christians who play with sin, particularly sexual sin, actually. And they play with it rather than mourning over it, and that's a real danger. You see, here he's saying, basically, happy are the unhappy. And he doesn't mean the sorrow of losing a loved one, but the sorrow of repentance, of recognizing the seriousness of our sin. It cost Jesus his life. So to mourn, to grieve our sin is a characteristic, is a distinctive of somebody who is running in the light, utterly dependent on God for their salvation, serious about their sin, recognizing it cost Jesus their life. And then verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Oh, Jesus, surely you're wrong about that. Surely it's not the meek who will succeed. It's the confident. It's the ambitious. It's the powerful that succeed in sport, isn't it? Our temptations as Christians is to do exactly the same and to be exactly the same and to think that it's through our power and aggression that we'll succeed and get our way. But hey, look, the meek will inherit the earth. In Christ, we will inherit the earth. You don't need to fight your corner. We'll get it all one day. We'll get it all. This meekness is a humble and gentle attitude, which is determined by a true estimate of ourselves, by seeing ourselves as we really are, utterly dependent on a saving God. You know, I'm quite happy at times to be vulnerable and call myself a sinner and recognize my sin on my own before God. But if somebody calls me out and says, hey, look, you're a sinner, I feel affronted. I feel upset. And there's a hypocrisy there, isn't there? There always is when meekness is absent. A meek person is truly amazed at the wonder of what God has done for them through Jesus Christ. That's our first three. Hey, what about our fourth? I don't know about you, but snacking on Jaffa cakes in lockdown, I love them. You can never have one Jaffa cake, even one packet probably doesn't really satisfy. And you just hunger for more. And look at what is going on here in verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. A mate of mine sacked in his job, and he and his wife, they got on motorbikes and drove around Argentina. It took them 3 months. And they came back with some amazing stories and some amazing photos. Incredible. But you see, the thing is, it was only a few weeks later that they were dissatisfied and starting to plan their next trip. You see, some hunger and thirst for pleasure. Others hunger and thirst for love. Others hunger and thirst for wealth or status. I'm sure you can think of many examples of that. You see, these are the issues Jesus is dealing with. You ought to be different. You're mine. You're running in the light. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those that hunger and thirst for him, for Jesus, are those that are hungry and thirsting for righteousness. And that is the only way to be filled. The only way. Hey, do you know what? We need to hear this in lockdown right now. There's a real danger of us taking our eye off the ball, isn't there? We can get caught up in our uni courses or the thoughts and frustrations of being in lockdown, or we can get consumed by completing that box set on Netflix, and our hunger from Jesus disappears. Stop snacking on things that don't fill you up. Hunger and thirst for Jesus. That's what it means to run in the light. What about running in the light in our sports clubs? That's been running in the light towards God. What about running in the light in our sports clubs? Well, that's where the second group of four take us. Let's dive in there now. Blessed are those who are merciful, for they will receive mercy. Mercy is not an experience you get in sport much, is it? You make mistakes on the pitch and you lose your place in the team. You make mistakes in the game and your teammates, they mock you. They tell you all about it, don't they? You make mistakes at home whilst in lockdown, and sometimes our harshest critics are those that are closest to us. But mercy is one thing we all need to have extended to us more than anything else in the world. Each day, we all need the mercy of God, the mercy of a great and loving God. Every real Christian knows that mercy is so important for every single one of us, because we recognize our dependency on him. We understand that we are sinners and we need his mercy. And see, if we've received mercy, we ought to be people that show mercy. This can be a real challenge if you're successful, if you're good at something, like in sports. Say you've got great hand-eye coordination. It's really hard then, isn't it, to be merciful, to be tolerant of those that perhaps drop the ball in a game. Oh, it's so simple. Come on. Surely you can do that. Surely you can do that. And somehow the more talented in sport we can be, the less merciful we can be towards others. Yet God is always showing mercy to you and me because we are sinners, miserable sinners. And he is a loving God. And that is awesome, isn't it? Absolutely awesome. If we get that kind of burned into our psyche, would it make us treat others differently? Yeah, probably would, wouldn't it? We'd be merciful towards those around us, showing grace, not criticism, love, not complaint. We'd change the way we speak. How distinctive is that today? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God, verse 8. Purity is not something that the world values much, is it? Often the sports culture and the world around us actually puts real enjoyment in impurity. Just think about the sexual arena. Does the world ever celebrate or advocate sexual purity? No, not at all. But we're just not talking about sex, only the pure in heart. You see that in the verse? Look at it. The pure in heart will see God. Just as our Christian lives began with purity through Jesus, our heart lives are saved and we are made pure through his death on the cross. So the Christian life continues with a desire for purity. Imagine having mud on your glasses. It's really hard to see. And that's kind of a picture of what impurity does. It makes it hard for us to see God. It blinds you. Showing mercy, desiring to live purely, that is running in the light in sport. Look at the next one. Blessed are peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. And we're not talking about like a first century Nobel Peace Prize. Look at what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about, well, who he is and what he has done. See, these peacemakers will be called children, sons of God. And they are offering the same peace as the Son of God himself did, which is the peace between us and God that he makes possible. And that is the peacemaking we are to be all about as we run in the light, as we are the light of the world. We are called to run and to point others to the peace they can have in God. But you know what? Look at verse 10. Those who are like this, who run in the light, they will be persecuted. That's hard to hear, isn't it? Persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is so countercultural to the teaching of the world, isn't it? You know, often we hear, you know, blessed are you in your club when you're popular, everybody loves you. Blessed are you when life is easy and hassle-free. Most of us would do almost anything to get approval from others, wear the right things, be in the right places, avoid controversial remarks. We want to be loved and affirmed. But before we go further, look at the next verse. Blessed are you when people insult you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. It's only a blessing when people insult you and persecute you because of Jesus Christ. Hey, let's face it, you can get people to persecute you. You just have to be irritating and obnoxious, perhaps not wash for a month or support Arsenal or something like that, and you'll get persecuted. But what he's talking about here is persecuted before following Jesus, for running in the light. As we point people to the peace in God, they won't like it. They won't like it. So why is this a blessing? Hey, look, he says, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Live not for now, but live for then. And you're in great company with the prophets because they were rejected too. To be popular in sport is easy. Tell people that everything's all right between them and God. Tell people there won't be any judgment. Tell them it doesn't matter how or what you do as you worship. Tell them all they need to do is be moral. That'll make you popular, but it's not Christian. It's not running in the light. So as we sum up, if we're now never out of step with the culture, we're just the same as everyone else, we have to really ask ourselves the question, are we in step with Christ? Are we running in the light? He saves us and calls us to be salty, in the world of sport. Running in the light for him in the world of sport. What a privilege. And what a power he gives us through his Holy Spirit to do that. Remember that put down that really stung me? That's a challenge I want to leave you with now. You, as dearly loved Christians in sport, saved by the grace of God through his son, Jesus Christ. Look at your life, honestly. Are you no different from anybody else? Or are you running in the light?